When someone projects their ideas onto us, either negative or positive, bad things happen. Let's just put it that way. So today I'm covering projection. What does it mean when a narcissist projects? What does it mean when we idolize someone through our projections? And what does this whole human design projection field of the line 5 mean? I'm going to combine all of those in today's episode. I hope you enjoy it. Welcome back to the Empath and Narcissist Podcast, where I share messages about spiritual healing from narcissistic abuse with human design. Because I believe your karmic experience has awakened you to your authentic soul, you just need the map to call your power back. I am your host, Raven Scott, and I'm an author and trauma-informed spiritual mentor. So I thought I'd cover first, what does it mean when someone projects their own ideas onto you, idolizing you in their first impression? Maybe you were idolizing someone else, aka the narcissist in your first impression. And so when someone projects their own ideas, idolizing you upon the first impression, it often reflects more about them, more about what they desire, what their fantasies are, and what they're hoping to get out of this relationship with you. And maybe the same, vice versa. You are idolizing and you're having these hopes and dreams and desires that to get something from a relationship with maybe possibly the narcissist at the beginning. And then you realize real life happens and this projection field drops. And then you hate the person. This may also be what happens with the narcissist with us in that whole love bombing phase. They're hoping to have this ideal relationship with us. Oh, this is the perfect person. She'll let me get away with everything, or she doesn't make me feel uncomfortable or trigger me. But it's all just this kind of childish emotional thought process of thinking that that's always the case, that there's never going to be confrontation or conflicts within a relationship. So when it comes to the projection field, people are projecting their wants and desires onto us. And human design, there is this thing called, when you have a line 5 profile, a projection field. You typically exude confidence, you exude power and leadership when you have the line 5 heretic as part of your human design. This also can apply if you have a line 4 opportunist and a line 6 role model, because all three of those are the interpersonal leadership type human design constructs, the line profiles. And these archetypes kind of present itself in us, in our personalities, in these first impressions as leaders, as having it all together, as being powerful people, you know, forces to be reckoned with. And some examples of the line 5 are a lot of celebrities have that line 5, including Taylor Swift. So people either love her or hate her. And that's absolutely this line 5 kind of energy. And I wanted to kind of hone in on the line 5 mainly because that's the one that has a projection field the most. But of course, the role model being that leader, people seeing you and going, oh, I need to do things and be things just like this person, or like you just doing and living is how you can help others. But it can also be this big burden, like a big weight on your shoulders. And it can be hard. It can be lonely and uncomfortable. And you don't want that projection. You don't want to be promoted in your job. You don't want the leadership. Like you just want to be, you know, do your job, be quiet and keep on trucking along in your life and be left alone. And so this happens within relationships. People project their ideas and their hopes and dreams onto you and go, oh, I think that this, you know, role would be really good for you. Or I see this as being really great. And you should do it. You know, I'm going to promote you and let's do it, right? You know, navigating the triggers and the stress and the PTSD after trauma and after narcissistic abuse, it's especially challenging. It's a challenging journey. And I personally can attest that I have gone through this. Your well-being is the utmost importance for your healing journey, for you, for your children. And I wanted to create a workshop for you based off of an experience I recently had, that I've created this healing process for myself to somatically clear out all of the stress from the triggers within my own body. So here are the deets on this workshop I've just created. It is somatic healing, and it involves reconnecting with your body to release the stored tension, emotions, and trauma. I will guide you through exercises and techniques to help you ground yourself, to manage your stress, and to reclaim a sense of control over your well-being and energy. You don't want to miss this opportunity to grab this free workshop and to take charge of your healing process. You will get somatic healing exercises that you'll have in your back pocket for all times, including somatic trauma release shaking, active aura breathing, reciting a releasing mantra, releasing from your hips, grounding meditation. I do an energetic sage cleansing ceremony, and a powerful healing mantra to have for your protection and empowerment, and to claim your power back. So join me and let's move towards a future filled with resilience, joy, and inner peace. Grab your seat today and get the video access to Releasing Triggers Somatic Healing Workshop today. The link is in the show notes. And then the shadow side hits, especially when conflict arises, when the sparkly rainbow and sunshine, stars and hearts, you know, kind of viewpoint on this person fades, and you see them. They slip up, they show who they are just by being in relationship with people. That's what we do, right? The reality kicks in, the lens fades, and that projection becomes not so shimmery and shiny. And then, especially for people with that line five, either in your conscious or subconscious, so you could be a 5-1. You could be a 3-5 or a 2-5, let's say. Then you have this heretic type energy around you where people love you, put you on a pedestal. You're amazing. You're so like expansive and you're empowering, and I just love you. And then maybe they don't get what they want out of that relationship. Maybe you say something that doesn't align with them, and then you get knocked off the pedestal, and you don't even want to do this. You don't want to even be on the pedestal in the first place, and you get knocked down, and they hate you, and they call you a fraud. They call you all these things, you know, think about like the heretic, like horrible things that big smear campaigns get run, you know, run your name through. And there's a lot of people who then hate you, or that person hates you. And you're like, what did I do? I didn't do anything wrong. Why does this person hate me? Especially when that five line is in the subconscious, that second number, because it's subconscious. You don't even know you're exuding this energy. You don't even know that they're projecting these things onto you. And then all of a sudden they hate you. You're like, I haven't even done anything but breathe. Like, what is wrong? Which I think a lot of times happens with the empath and narcissist as well, because the narcissist is hoping for something, hoping that you will heal or fill the void in their insecurity and their flaws or their wounds, but you can't and you don't, because no one else can fill a hole for another person. You have to be your savior. You have to be your healer within your own self. And so then the narcissist will then, this is the other shadow part of projection, the narcissist projects onto you. They are attributing their own thoughts and feelings and motives to you, often in a way that distorts reality. And then, of course, avoiding taking responsibility for their own behavior. Because at first they think that you're going to save them. And then when you can't, because that's just not possible, then they get mad at you that you can't. And so then they put everything off on you. They avoid taking responsibility for doing their own hard work and their emotional and spiritual growth. So, and the projection can take form in a number of ways. Number one could be blaming you for things that they have done or are doing, especially in infidelity issues. Gaslighting is another huge, you know, term that comes around, blaming you for things that they have done or doing. And you're like, I don't know where this is coming from, because I'm not that, you know. And when you kind of pull yourself away from the situation, you're like, no, you were. You were doing that, not me. But when you're in the thick of it, you're questioning yourself and doubting it and feeling like you're crazy. Number two, they can be accusing you of having the traits or behaviors that they themselves exhibit. And then imposing their own negative self-image onto you. Number three, and that can also be ways to kind of also make you feel lesser, insecure, your self-worth lowered, to kind of latch onto codependency and talking just negative about yourself, and then them talking negative about you, and then you then in turn having this negative self-talk. All of this changes our brain chemistry when we believe and we allow the narcissist to sell us all of these lies. Number four is assuming your thoughts and feelings, mirroring their own. So again, this projection of assuming what your thoughts are, assuming what you're feeling, and then getting defensive and angry and upset, and their ego just goes on a rant. I was reading a book last night. The book is called How to Be an Adult in Relationships, The 5 Keys to Mindful Loving by David Rico. And he was talking about SEE. What are the three areas that are helpful to point out or evaluate within ourselves and sometimes in other people and their reactions and their negative behaviors when we're having a confrontation and able to see it clearly, SEE, seeing clearly, that is to ask ourselves, is it my shadow, ego, or early life issues? So then he goes on to describe, what is the shadow? The shadow is the part of us that we disown, repress, and deny while we project it onto others. It may be our shadow speaking when we notice another doing something that we would do, but we cannot admit that we would. We despise seeing in the other what is unconscious in ourselves. Our work is to befriend our shadow by acknowledging our own projections and reclaiming them as ours. Ego. As we have always seen, the ego is neurotic and inappropriate when it is driven by fear of not being accepted or by arrogance, retaliation, or entitlement. All key phrases when dealing with narcissists. We have a bruised ego when we say, "How dare you do this to me? I'll get you for this." Or, "Don't you realize who I am?" And early life issues. We may be reacting to early unfinished business if we find ourselves thinking, "You are replicating in this relationship what was done to me in my childhood. I see you recreating a scenario from the past that is highly charged for me. I am reacting in the present to a stimulus from the past. It feels like a remembrance." So this SEE technique, C technique, is useful for exploring any of our attitudes, beliefs, reactions, biases, or causes for upset. So make an ongoing commitment to see SEE, the three suspects within, and to bring them out into the open. And I just love that because that totally aligns with this topic about projection and how do we evaluate it and heal from it, accept it, and move on. So the other thing, we cannot expect others to fulfill our needs. We can fulfill our needs. And that was the next segment in this this topic of how to be an adult in relationships. He was talking about how you shift things, you know, from saying things like, "I am the victim of this," to "this happened to me," right? It softens the language. It softens the idea of what happened. And then also, what did I learn from it? And then you get to really do the hard work to learn from it. It is what it is. It happened. Versus carrying around the grudge towards the person, which is like carrying around poison in our body. And we're always holding on to the negative energy from the past. And being able to let go and move on. Sometimes letting go and moving on means that you talk to this person in a very limited way, or you kind of guard yourself on how open you are, or really guard your expectations of what you're getting from that relationship with a person. And then, of course, if you can with a narcissist, have no contact. That really helps, again, just keep everything back in the past so you can move forward, heal, and create a life of beauty and peace that you so desire. Release all the guilt, releasing all the shame and the self-doubt. Because in your human design, when you see that you have that line five, let's say you don't have it in your profile, but you for sure have it within somewhere in your chart. It's pretty rare that there's not at least 1.5 next to the planets in your chart. Then you can say, evaluate, okay, so it's not part of my profile, but I do kind of relate to this message about the projection field. Maybe it's next to the planet Venus, right? Venus rules love, relationships. She also rules money and creativity. So any of those topics can be an area where you may be receiving projection from someone else because it's, you know, gate number 23.5, let's say. And the 0.5 is a profile. So there is energy around whatever's happening in your Venus in your chart, you know, versus instead of being it in next to your sun, which would then be part of your main profile. And of course, it could be next to Neptune, Uranus, it could be next to Mercury. All of these things represent different energies. And I can run through those if you like real quick, just to kind of give you a synopsis of what maybe you're receiving in the projection field regarding those particular themes from those planets. So you can grab my book, Empath's Guide to Rising Strong, to understand all of the gate energies and themes next to each of your planets in your chart. And the first planet on the top, there are columns to the left and right of your human design chart. If you don't have your chart, you can grab it at Jovian Archive. You can go to the link in the bio, the show notes to get your free summary from me. So it'll have the first very top planet is the sun. The sun is the main profile. You know, you're going to have a gate number and then the point, and then the next number after the point is the profile line. So for example, mine is 64.6. So that is the gate of questions, constantly questioning things. And then 0.6 is the role model line profile. Then we have, so when you have it next to the sun, it is your main way that you shine out to the world, your main personality trait. Then you have the earth. The earth represents grounding, down again into Mother Earth, the groundingness. What are you grounding in? What is very solid within you? And then the next planet down, I'm trying to figure out, it's not numbers, it's just the third box down from the top is the North Node symbol. So the North Node is what your soul is yearning towards. What is your role in this lifetime? What is it striving towards this lifetime? The South Node, the next one down, is what you're letting go, what you're familiar with in the past life. The next one down is the moon. This governs our emotions and how you feel about things, you know, how you feel deeply, and also what's fulfilling to you. The next one down is Mercury. Mercury is the planet all about communication and processing and how you do things. The next one down is Venus. Venus, like I said, is love and money, resources, creativity. The next one down is Mars. I do have, for example, I have 0.5 on my North Node, South Node. So that's also when the nodal axes are kind of like what you're drawn to or who's drawn to you. So that's why I get a lot of 3-5s in when I get these readings. Not all, but a lot of them. I bring in 3-5s because on the subconscious I have 0.3 and the conscious I have 0.5. So if you are an entrepreneur and you're looking to figure out who is your ideal, you know, client that you typically are attracting, look at your North Node profile lines. And it's particularly those people that have those in their sun. Moving down to Mars, which is below Venus, that also, for me, has 0.5 in it. So if you have the heretic line profile next to Mars, Yeah, that's not fun. That's why I get into a lot of conflicts that just seem to come out of the blue, out of nowhere. Like all of a sudden they hate me and I'm like, what the heck? Because Mars governs war. Mars governs action and harsh words. So I do receive a lot of harsh words of hate sometimes about my work or my books from people who feel personally guilty. That doesn't really affect them out. They feel like it affects them because it's out in the public, but I haven't revealed their identity. Does that make sense? And then Jupiter is the next one down. So Jupiter is all about expansion, more and growth, traveling, things like that. Saturn is the next one down below that. That one is, Saturn is responsibility, boundaries, borders, constraints, time constraints, like what the heck am I doing with my life kind of energy. What are you doing here? What's the purpose? Okay, let's, the very motherly kind of like finger pointing kind of helping you regain focus. The next one down is Uranus. Uranus is all about the rebel. It's shaking things up, earthquakes, you know, what do we need to do differently out of your routine? And then you have Neptune. Neptune is the next one down. That relates to that energy of Neptune is deep, dreamy, murky, kind of confusion. It's a lot of emotions as well. It's ruled by water. So you've got a lot of that going on. If you have the heretic line there, you kind of have some stuff going on in the dreams and the murk and the depths and the deep related to Pisces. And yeah, I wonder if that's why most of the Pisces in my life have hurt me. And Neptune is ruled by Pisces and I have the heretic there next to that as well. So you see how like maybe it makes sense, maybe it doesn't. But if you start looking at it, you're like, oh, that's why. Oh my gosh, yeah, that makes sense. Why? So once it makes sense, then you can kind of be able to put the pieces of the puzzle together, kind of let go of that emotional charge. Like, I can't believe this happened to me. And you can release it into, okay, it is what it is. It's right here in my chart. Like, we'll just guard ourselves up. We're just going to let the water roll off my back and just move on, continue on with my purpose. And the last one is Pluto, the very bottom. Pluto is all about the underworld, unearthing. It also is like a bomb. It loves to blow things up in order to reconstruct. It's really a beautiful, almost like a composting type of a planet. Whatever is toxic, whatever is not working, whatever is not in alignment will, from time to time, when it transits in your personal chart, will blow up. Things will kind of blow up in your life. And that way you can put the pieces back together the way you want it versus the way that's been placed for you or conditioned for you or just isn't working for you. So I know a lot of people are scared of Pluto. I think it's amazing. It's like, yes, please get me my compost bomb. You know, I always think of a garden, like what needs to be unearthed? What is rotting? Let's pull it up and let's throw it away and regurgitate the soil and put something beautiful back in there. So those are all the themes of how you can find what's happening in your heretic line, or again, your role model line, or any of these lines where there's just a lot of projection field, which is 4, 5, and 6, mainly 5. And that, like, how you can find it in your chart and have it apply to you and your themes in your life. So in conclusion, I hope that this was insightful and helpful and gave you some more tools to dig deeper into your human design chart, as well as your emotional and spiritual growth after narcissistic abuse and healing from narcissistic abuse. So I hope in this episode you understood the narcissistic projection. I hope you understood how you may have used projection as well in putting the narcissist up on a pedestal. Healing modalities for your body and energy. You can use the SEE kind of assessment of like, is this my shadow? Is this my ego? Or is this an early childhood trauma that I need to heal and it's not healed? And then you can take that and go, okay, it's this. You can identify it and then you can do energy work on it. You can do Reiki. You can do Ho'oponopono prayer, energy healing. So many healing modalities that are in my first book. Somatic healing. You can grab the free somatic workshop I have offered in the link in the show notes to help physically get all of this emotional pain and trauma out of your body. Practicing yoga, taking walks, do all the things that help you heal and grow spiritually. And of course, connecting with your higher spirit guides. I just had Tammy on the podcast last week on Thursday. If you haven't listened to that, because I've been putting so much content out, you may have missed it. But she shared with us how to gain higher help from your spirit guides. And remember, your empathic nature is a gift. So don't let the narcissist make you believe any differently. Your sensitivity is a strength. And by nurturing yourself and seeking out the tools and practices that support you, your healing journey, you can continue to grow and thrive. Thank you so much for listening and subscribing to this podcast. Please help us grow and reach more survivors that are seeking spiritual growth by sharing this and tagging me at Empath of the Narcissist Podcast on Instagram. You can even send it via text. However you want to share it, you go share away. And don't forget to subscribe. Hey, if you're feeling extra generous, please write a review to the podcast. This really does help in social proof. We're up to 100 reviews. I never thought I'd ever see that number. So thank you so much for that. So speaking of ads and offerings, you can dive deeper with me through my first book, Empath of the Narcissist. It is a profound exploration of my story, my healing journey, and a whole bunch of different elements that I've discovered on my healing path to help you heal from narcissistic abuse and empower you. So you can also listen to that on Audible. My second book is a new book, baby. It is Empath's Guide to Rising Strong. And you can grab your paperback of that human design guidebook. It includes shadow work with Goddess Inanna, as well as moon rituals and guided meditations and a whole breadth of understanding your human design chart. You can grab all these books in the link in the show notes. And as always, remember, always keep your unique light shining.